Well, we're here this morning with another Sunday morning brew conversation, and all about what's it like to follow Jesus in the day-to-day. So a little bit of break from our typical, which is diving into a passage of Scripture and kind of working through it and showing how it applies and how we can live it out. We're inviting different people to come and join us and have conversations about what is life like following Jesus. So really our ongoing testimony. And it's meant to hopefully encourage us, inspire us, and hear something that maybe is relatable to you. And so maybe you hear, by the way, I'm here with Chris and Monica Landis, and maybe you hear something that they say this morning that you go, oh, I think I know what they're talking about. It gives you something more to dive into, and that's the whole goal here, is to help us all in our walk with Jesus, because I don't know about you guys, but when I said yes to Jesus, I didn't become immediately perfect.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a journey, right? It's a walk. It's filled with trips and hazards and all kinds of detours that want to get us derailed. And so we got to talk about it, and we help each other out through that. And so there's going to be some questions on the board. They're going to kind of be guides. Hopefully, it's going to be conversational, so we might not even use all the questions that I prepped them with. But we're going to start off with one. Just in case you don't know them, we want to hear about who they are. So, Chris and Monica, tell us a little bit about yourselves, your passions, your interests, your hobbies, your favorites.
All right, I'll go first. My name is Chris Landis. For any of you who don't know me, I'm pretty sure most of you probably do or are related to me. Married to Monica. I have four kids, Sydney, Jax, Daisy, Ivy, sitting in the back there. Since we're all Mennonite, we sit in the same seats every week. We usually sit back there all the way in the back or back there all the way in the back. So now you know. You probably hear our daughter, Sydney, singing some of the songs in the back sometimes. So, I like to play roller hockey, play probably 2-3 times a week at this stage of life. Didn't always do that, but I own a small construction business. We do kitchen and bathroom remodels.
So your hockey, did you used to do more or less?
When I was younger, I did more. Then I had kids, started the business, didn't do it at all, shut it off for like 5 years. Now back to slowly playing a couple times a week. So
okay, nice. Yeah.
And I really enjoy like this type of thing, deep conversations, talking about God, talking about life, things that really matter. So this is actually exciting for me to be up here and talk.
Yeah,
about
we ran into you in the park the one day when I was thinking about who to ask. And what light conversation were you and Monica enjoying in the park that day?
Yeah. I don't remember. It was something deep. Do you remember what we were talking about?
It was like prayer and praying for people to be healed and like them not being healed, I think. And whether God, something to do with that.
Yeah, so we're walking in the park just to paint the picture and see your pastor and his wife walking. And like, oh, what are you talking about? This deep thing. And then he says, oh, we'd like to do a sermon series. What are you guys talking about? So we'd like to do a sermon series on being a disciple, what it's like. And I foolishly said, that sounds like a great idea, not knowing the next thing he would do would be to ask me. Like, oh, well, you guys should do it. I was like, okay. All right, here we are.
Here we are.
So that's me in a nutshell.
We have four kids. I usually take care of them, and two of them are special needs, so that's harder. But I like to crochet. I like music a lot. I like to go running, do stuff with our kids a lot. I don't know. Yeah, I like having me and Chris usually talk a lot together about deeper things, and I love that.
But, yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Well, let's get right into it then. What does discipleship mean to you guys?
It's hard to start with such a blunt, open question. Just go for it. But I guess we're just going to jump right in. I think I want to start with what I used to think about discipleship, and I think the answer to that was not much. If I think back when you told us these questions beforehand, like what we were going to talk about. And now, to me, it means something. But when I was younger, so I was baptized at 13, went to a bunch of different churches. But I think I've been a Christian following Jesus as long as I can remember. But I don't know if I ever thought about discipleship in a sense that, like, what was I doing? So we have this idea in church, I think, that, you know, even evangelizing, we want to, like, help people know about Jesus and almost convert them in a sense. And that's great, we should be doing that. But then what? Like, what do we do after that? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a hard question. I actually believe if you talk to a lot of Christians, like, after that, what do? We wouldn't know what to say. And that's not like a dig on us. I just think it's you have to think about life sometimes. And discipleship to me is then what?
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's that after you're saved, after you believe in Jesus, after you accepted, like, I can't do this on my own. Now, how do I act? Now, what do I do? And I would think that's what discipleship is to me.
Okay.
Anything to add to that?
I think I used to think, like, I'm a Christian and I just keep living, but like 5 years ago, I feel like I actually tried to learn, like, what was discipleship, and God was calling me, like, yeah, what is true? Because a lot of things are saying your truth or my truth, and then it's like, well, what is true? And all the different churches, different denominations, just, I think discipleship feels like searching for truth, like pursuing God and what's true, and then applying that through your life, actually, instead of just taking that into your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so almost the first step, I feel like, for me, probably around the same time as her, was this realization that just because I was a Christian and I knew who Jesus was, doesn't mean that everything I thought, if this is silly to say in front of people, everything I thought was true. I think, but we live that way sometimes. Because we're Christian and we kind of know Jesus, we know the rules, things just follow, we kind of think, oh, I know everything. You know, I'm doing it right. I think discipleship, the first step is a recognition of, like, oh, I don't know everything. There's things that I should look, how did Jesus do this? What's not working in my life? What should I change? And I think I also had that moment of, like, there's truth out there. Truth is impartial. It's regardless of what I think, that's what I need to follow. That's what I need to find. I think discipleship is seeking that over what I originally, what my natural thoughts are.
Yeah, so the next kind of question that leads into that, and they kind of bleed together then. So if that's what discipleship is, what does that look like in your lives? How do you live that out practically? How do you engage in that kind of a way? Do you feel like you are fully, or are you still looking for more?
What do you think? How do we engage that?
I think when I first started trying to, like, we read The Divine Conspiracy by Dallas Willard, and I think that was a really good book if you want to search out, like, what does it mean to be a disciple? I think he's really good at walking you through, like, yeah, kind of, you become a Christian, and then what? But I think discipline, sure. Yeah.
So there's a part in this book. If you want a book to read, if you're a reader, about what discipleship is, The Divine Conspiracy by Dallas Willard is amazing, honestly. He's explaining how to be a disciple. I'm just going to read a short little paragraph here. It's titled The Simplicity of Discipleship. He says, first of all, we should note that being a disciple or apprentice of Jesus is a quite definite and obvious kind of thing. To make a mystery of it is to misunderstand it. There is no good reason why people should ever be in doubt as to whether they themselves are his students or not. And I think what that does, it takes a spiritual deep word we've heard if you go to church your whole life, discipleship. And it kind of pulls it out of the clouds and makes it, like, practical. And it's basically like, what are you doing every day? Like, you know if you're doing this or not. So if you're and disciple is a term we don't use often. Like, when outside of church, when do you ever use the word disciple? I don't. At least I know that. But something like, change it to apprentice. Say you're doing a job and you're an apprentice of I'm a carpenter, so you're an apprentice of a more knowledgeable person. You're learning from them, or even a student. You know if you're an apprentice. Like, if someone asks you, hey, are you a carpenter's apprentice? Like, what's your answer? You know your answer. There's no question. Similarly, I think we all really know, are you following Jesus in a sense that you're purposely trying to find his way and not your way? Or are you just kind of living? And I'm not saying that if you're just kind of living, you aren't saved or a Christian. But there's a difference between that and discipleship.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are we doing that?
Yeah, what kind of things do you do to live that out?
I think practically, like, reading your Bible, and actually, I think, yeah, probably 5 years ago is when we left our old church, is like all these changes happened. It's just like, what does it mean to be a Christian? And I don't know. And I remember reading through Luke and writing questions like, what did Jesus actually say? What did he actually do? Like, I feel like people are always like, be like Jesus. And you just, okay, cool, I'll be like Jesus. But I think it, like, opened my eyes to, like, oh, Jesus, sometimes he was, like, angry at his disciples. And there was things that you feel like being like Jesus is being nice or something like that. And like when I keep reading through the Gospels and I actually, in my mind, I'm like, what did he do? Why did he do that? Why did he say that? Like, I don't always come away being like, okay, just be nicer. Like, I come away challenged or confused, and I see the disciples being confused too, and they were actually even like with him. Like, sometimes they're like, what is he talking about? Like, so
when you're confused in those moments, what do?
I try, well, I have a study Bible, so I try to like, I always am like reading the little notes, like, what does it say about that? But sometimes I'll talk to Chris about it, or I'll maybe look it up on like gotquestions.org, whatever, like this verse, and see what someone else thinks it means, stuff like that. But sometimes just wondering about like, oh, what is he actually saying? What do the words mean that he's actually saying? And I'm trying to think how.
I think the way it really sticks too for me is the same way anything sticks in life. So I'll go back to the apprentice of being a carpenter or anything, whatever your job is. If you're teaching, say you're teaching a kid under you, and they went home and they read the textbook and they were supposed to practice something, and they were like, oh, I didn't practice thing, but I read the book on how to do it. You know what I mean? And then you give them another lesson next night, and 2 weeks later, like, well, I keep reading the book, but I didn't actually practice the thing. Like, how good do you think they're going to be at that thing? They're not going to be very good at it. You know what I mean? You might have knowledge about it, but actually doing it is a different thing. So for me, I agree, obviously, with what you're saying, reading the Bible, learning it, but then the next step is when I'm living in my life, like actually trying to do the things Jesus tells me to do, that's where the change happens. That's when I really learn. So if the question is, how do I engage discipleship? It's in my daily life when I'm out there living, remembering the things that I read, or even being purposeful. So say I read reading verses, or I want to specifically learn about something, prayer, something like that. Throughout my day, I'll notice moments and think about it. And then that's what helps me change. So that's the actual doing of the thing and not just having the knowledge of it.
So you're talking more like action reflection.
Yeah, I think so. Just to make it really practical, like I said, it's like a job. Like if you're a plumber, you can watch a YouTube video on how to do plumbing. How many of us have done that? Look up this video. Oh, just watch this 5-minute thing. And you go to do it. It's not anything like that. You mess it up. You have the water spraying everywhere, whatever happens. But that's how you learn. You don't learn just from reading the thing. Right. So you read it, you learn, then you go practice it. And to me, that is what discipleship is. And like I said, to take the spiritual term out of the cloud, it's just purposefully trying to become more like Jesus in your actions.
So maybe really simple. Discipleship is knowing the words and will of Jesus and then putting them into practice ourselves.
Yeah, that's a really good way to say it.
So that it then shapes us.
You should be a pastor.
I've been told that before.
I think also, like, not being good at it, like, being okay, like,
yeah.
I feel like I'm not good at praying out loud, but I try it, like, randomly. If I think, I should pray for that person, sometimes I'll just be like, can I just pray for you right now? And, like, it's so awkward, but, like, I think you can't get better at it unless you do it.
That's
and
the
you
definition
don't always
of practice,
have, you don't, like, always have to do that, but just, I think, taking the chances when you feel something like that and, like, okay, this might be awkward, but do it anyway. Whatever that is. I'm trying to think, what does Jesus like? Like, if you were giving examples of living out, like, he says, forgive and stuff like that. Like, maybe if you actually ask forgiveness, you actually say, I'm sorry. Like, that's not easy. I don't, like, the thing.
If we're
going to
spitball off that, we were talking about, I hit a point in life where we talk about this, like, this is also going to be admitting things on stage in front of 100 people, but I hit a point where I realized, like, I don't know if I've ever said I'm sorry in my life. Like, who, do we do that? Do we ever say, like, something goes wrong and you're like, later, oh, I'm sorry for that? Or do we just kind of move past it and assume the person knows that? And I think, oh, the Bible tells us to confess to each other and forgive each other. And, like, how do you do that unless you say you're sorry? So I actually would practice. There's times when I realized I did something wrong. How to make this better, and I it's so awkward, but you say that to the person, like, oh, I'm sorry for this thing. So that.
And what did you notice when you started doing that?
It was better. Life is better. Like, actually heals the relationship in a sense. Like, you're no longer assuming if the person thinks you're sorry or there's not this weird tension. I mean, I'm not perfect at all, so I still obviously don't enjoy those moments, but that's just one example of, there's never been a time when I've done something the way the Bible says to do it, and I've been like, I think my way was actually better.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. It's never happened.
I
you
think
know
even
I mean?
If it goes badly, I still think that was better. Yeah. Even if it, like the thing I thought was gonna happen that was bad happened, I still like could learn from that anyway.
But it doesn't mean it was less awkward.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it wasn't harder, but it was still better.
Now, so how did you get to that point in your faith journey? So you went from a place where you said discipleship really didn't mean much to you. It was sort of like, I've become a follower of Jesus, and yeah, I'm just a Christian, to now this more focus on, no, discipleship. So, like, what was that process like? How did you get to that next point?
I feel like for me, it was like losing trust in everything else or something. It was like, when you realize you can't trust different people you thought you could, or like, we left our church and then finding a new church, and it, like, it felt like everything, and then it was 2020, it was probably around, that was right after, so it was like, oh, the whole world fell apart, and it was like, oh, yeah, like, you have to know what you actually believe then, like, for me, it started with, like, basically losing. A lot of the things I feel like I grow are from, like, loss, I guess, I would think, or, like, going through the, like, Sydney, our first daughter had really bad seizures since she was a baby, and it was like a lot of years of trying to figure it out and help her, whatever. I think there were moments during that that I got stronger, because you have to actually come, like, face it, like, well, God is good, but this, and what does that mean? Like, you have to...
It actually tests the beliefs you have. Keep saying this, pulls it out of the sky and makes it practical. Like, okay, do I really still think this?
I think sometimes, to your question, like, sometimes life forces you to face it. Mm. Either you decide how you go through with that, or I guess you could self-reflect a lot, but sometimes life, it just happened. You're like, oh, my kid has this horrible disease, and I'm, like, praying for healing, and they're not being healed, so now what? Like, you have to figure, you have to, like, learn, I guess, change. So for me, I think life forced me in a way to, like, oh, I need to figure this out, or I'm just going to be struggling forever with, I guess, faith, God, church, like, relationships.
Yeah, sure. I agree.
And because God says, like, we can go to him, we can ask him, the Bible is the truth. I just feel like, well, I have this Bible, and God says that this is the truth, and so, like, oh, I can trust this. Like, even if it's, like, a story, something in this story is true that I can learn from. So, yeah, trusting God to, like, actually help you in those times.
Yeah, it's like refining our faith and our understanding. So there's a really big term that's being used a lot right now, deconstruction.
Oh, yeah.
And it's usually used in a very bad way to say, don't ever do any kind of deconstructing because it only leads to evils. And I actually don't agree with that. I think exactly what you just said is what deconstruction actually is in its best light.
Yeah.
It's saying,
I held
to this belief.
Yeah.
But this is what my reality was, and they don't align, and I can pretend that, whatever, I'll just live with both, or I'll do the hard work of saying, wait a second, what about my belief wasn't quite right, and how do I realign that, deconstruct, so that I can construct a more actual, factual, kind of true understanding of God and faith and what it means to follow Jesus.
Yeah, if you're deconstructing in order to disprove God, then that's what you're going to get to. But if you're deconstructing in order to find truth, because where you're at, what you believe doesn't now line up with what reality happened, then deconstruction, I think, is an amazing thing.
Right.
Because obviously, along the way somewhere, you got off. If reality is showing you, you're not right. So then you almost, in a sense, need to deconstruct, so to say, to use that term, to then get back to finding what's true.
Right. And now some of that is hearing the Lord, right, and seeking the Lord in all of this. So what is it like for you to seek the Lord, to hear from God? How do you know God spoke to you? What's that like in your life?
Yeah, to go back, I'm going to jump on that, but the previous question of going from not really thinking about discipleship to realizing that that's how I wanted to live was similar to hers, but instead of not being able to trust other people or a church she went to, I think I got to the point where I actually wasn't able to trust myself anymore. Mm. Like, there's certain things were happening in life, my mindset about things, you get to the point where it's like, I got myself here. It's this acceptance. It's so cliche, but it's like humility and being at the bottom is where you find God's truth.
That book on humility was something powerful to you, right? There's a little
I read that after I needed to realize I needed to be humble. It wasn't like I read the book and then like I fell first and then read the book.
Action reflection.
There you go. But realizing that everything I thought, all my ways, weren't getting me where I wanted to go. And you have this, well, if I can't trust myself, what can I trust? And that sounds so simple, but to be there, actually in that place as a person, is not easy. And I think we both had this kind of feeling of like, it's crazy to say because I've been a Christian most of my life and known the Bible, but there was this, I still remember the moment of like, the Bible is, yes, any Bible. The Bible is truth. Like, this book right here, I can trust always. That was like amazing to have that realization. Mm. I think that was the start for me of like, oh, I need to start following this. And the also realization that it's going to take me a lifetime to even get anywhere closer, but you still need to start.
Right.
I forget your original question now, but.
Hearing God in the process of all that. Yeah, so, yeah. Like, when you hit that rock bottom or that spot where you're like, I don't know who to trust, like, God would have spoken to you in that, but how would you have known it was him? What's God's language to speaking to you? And so I'll just kind of, some people read the Bible and verses just like illuminate or come off the page at them. Other people, they pray and they maybe like get a sense or an impression placed upon them. Like I hear Jerry say a lot, like, oh, I was just praying and got this sense that I should have go visit this person. And like, so that's a way that God speaks. Other people talk about dreams or visions or hearing a voice. So like, what is it like for you to interact with the Lord?
I don't get any of that. So that's like the deep spiritual part. I'm growing in that, I think. I'm a much more practical person. So for me, reading the Bible, learning who God is, learning who Jesus was and truth, I logically then see it when I'm looking for something. It lines up. Like you can almost feel, now I'm saying something spiritual, but you can almost feel the alignment of truth sometimes. I don't usually get any like spiritual senses or things from God or dreams or things like that, but maybe to someone who's more spiritual and lives that way, God would speak in that way. To me, it's so much more practical. Of first, I have to know who God is, know his ways. I make the metaphor of like, I joke, and we were talking about this before because we were going to do these questions, talking about our son, Jackson. It's like, if someone went up to him and said, your dad said that you should take this baseball and throw it through this window, he'd be like, I don't think my dad would say that. You know what I mean? Like, that's not, I don't believe that. But he has to know me, or you know what I mean? It's something more realistic, obviously, a better metaphor, but you have to know your father in order to know what he would want you to do. So the first step is getting to know him. The second step is then when something happens, applying it to that. Is
the irony of your example is God has asked people to do some pretty ridiculous things over the years.
True. It can be hard to know, for sure. Mm. Yeah, but yeah. In my experience, it's usually lines up pretty well. The answers aren't as crazy as you think they would be, in my experience.
Okay, so yours is more in alignment of the truth you read coming kind of together as you go through your day and you see the opportunities.
Yeah. I rarely get these, like, open the Bible to a certain verse and it's like, this is it, or, you know, this vision from God, like that maybe once or twice in my entire life, but even those were right. More practical.
Okay. Monica, what about you?
I think kind of similar to you, but, like, I do believe if I am reading the Bible every day, like, I'm filling my mind with that. I think it's easier to test, like, your thoughts against that. Like, is that God or not? Like, I still think it makes, yeah, sometimes I'm like, is that God? Is that what he wants me to do? And sometimes maybe you just tried anyway. Like, sometimes it'll be something nice. Like, I think I'm supposed to, like, reach out to this person and say, hey, I'm praying for you. And I don't know why. And it's like, what could be negative about that, really? But you don't know if, sometimes you don't know the outcome, like, of that. But yeah, sometimes it could be a song. I think it like lines up with whatever I'm going through at the time. I guess like more recently, Ivy was having more seizures and it was stressful and like trying not to worry, all that stuff. But like there was like a month where I was praying, but I was kind of just like, God, I don't know how to like what mindset to have, I guess, and to not be like worried so much. And, like, this new album came out of this artist we like, Stephen Stanley. And this one song came on, and I, like, didn't know the words. But I was like, this is it. Like, somehow the song was the answer. And I got home, and I looked up the words, and it was like he was saying the same things I was saying. Hmm. And it was like, somehow it was the answer. And it wasn't an answer. It wasn't like, okay, just, like, worry less. I don't know what it was like, God hears me, and he knows this situation, and like he knows me, and like it's okay. Like, you're going to struggle. I don't know, something about it. So I would say sometimes songs will do that randomly, or mm-hmm. I think if you're just looking, if you are really looking for God to answer you, like, and keep your eyes open and wait, I think he will. But it sometimes it will be like a month later. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you reminded me of something. I wanted to say that. First you have to ask.
Yeah.
Because the verse, ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. And I think, again, for me, that's so practical. If you're not seeking to find what God says, you're not going to find it. It's just so basic. But if you are, I can't think of a time when I was truly seeking something from God and he didn't answer in some way. Like, uh-huh. You will find it. It might take, like you said, who knows how long or who knows how it's going to come. But
you keep waiting, I think. And I think you keep reading the Bible and keep praying and, like, other people. Sometimes I'm just talking to someone and they'll see something so practical. I'm like, oh, I just can't figure this out. And they're just like, what if you do this? And it's like, oh, I didn't think of that. Like, that's so easy. Like, and I feel like that feels like God. Like, when you're searching, I think he will answer. But I don't always feel that, like, overly spiritual. Like, oh, God just said these words to me. But once in a while, I will feel like that. Or a verse. I was praying for this, actually. And I realized for like a week, I was like, God, just give me the right things to say. I just want to sound smart, basically. And then I was like, wait. It was like it was like Friday. So it was so close today. And I was like, okay, I'm going to pray about it this morning. And I was like, oh, God, can you just say what you want to say, even if I'm not smart? And like instantly the verse, like, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Like that. I was like, okay, cool. Like, I wasn't, like, I don't know, it just, I was, like, trying to come up with verses to tell myself to be, like, less nervous, and just, like, oh, there it is, like, and I felt like that was God.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm blank. What was the question?
I'm going to throw something in there anyway, so you're good. Right. You said something about hearing from other people. I think that's something we're learning a lot recently, that I think in our culture, we're so individualistic. We try to do everything ourselves. We want to not need anybody. You know, we live next to four neighbors, but we all own a lawnmower, so we don't have to share one. Like, it would be weird for me to walk to my neighbor, like, ask for a cup of sugar, like the old thing. You know what I mean? No one does that. I'm just going to go to the grocery store and buy my own. Like, it's how we live. It's our culture. And I'm picking out the silly things, obviously, but we really actually do think that way. And I'm learning that how God speaks to me often is through other people. And if I don't have those relationships, I wouldn't hear it. If I wasn't talking about this stuff to other people, I wouldn't hear it.
Right.
And it's not just for that. I mean, the relationship is for the relationship as well. But part of the fruit of that, if they're Christian, is hearing from God through each other.
Right. And that comes back to discipleship.
Yeah. Other people have to be doing it as well. Because if they're seeking, they're finding things that I might not be finding.
Right.
And then we can be talking about it together.
And we do things in community. And there's different levels of community mm-hmm. and different sized gatherings that we participate in. But are we getting to a place where we're able to have really intimate, meaningful, deep conversations with someone that can really know us and we can really know them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So an example of that would be, so like I said, I run a small business. And I watch YouTube videos of guys talking about business all the time and talk to other small business owners. And there's these things called masterminds where you would have five small businesses all get together. You take half an hour, talk about your business, and the other four or five guys kind of help you with your thing. And it's like, that's people of the world. I mean, they might be Christian, but let's say they're not Christians. People of the world finding a truth that I think Christians sometimes miss, that we can't see all of our blind spots. We can't figure out everything ourselves. We need other people. That's in the Bible in so many verses. I wish I would have had one here to say, but I find that with my spiritual life, with my relationship with God, trying to find truth, it's the same. You know, I have guys that I talk to on purpose to have these discussions because I feel it. I feel the strengthening. I'm like, oh, you said something I didn't think about, and now I'm going to grow, and you're going to grow from this. You know what I mean?
Right.
That relationship that I think we need other people to hear from God, to know it's God.
Right. Or the opposite to we don't see all of our blind spots is we do know our blind spots, but we know them so well that we're afraid to admit them.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
And so the idea of me sitting with you over lunch and just spilling my guts about something is like, well, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Even though it's exactly what I need mm-hmm. and it's going to grow me. But now I'm putting myself in a posture of, well, I'm really allowing you to have a position of power.
Yeah. Being vulnerable.
If I'm going to be vulnerable, you could do a lot of things with that.
Mm-hmm.
You could spout it out on social media. You could scream at me and tell me I'm a rotten, horrible person, right? All these things we conjure in our mind. Or you could say, hey, brother, I know that walk. Mm-hmm. I know the challenges. I might not know that exact challenge, but I know pitfalls.
Yep.
And more than that, I know the grace of God to lift me back up and get me back on the path. And if we don't have that, we're kind of short-circuiting all of discipleship, yep, in my mind.
Yeah, it's a way to do life better together. Like, why would you not?
Right.
If you're just thinking of practice, why would you not? I know why you wouldn't, because it's hard. Like you said, being vulnerable, relationships. But if you actually are seeking what's best, you will grow those relationships.
I think some of it is we just don't know God's grace as much as we think we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you mean? Give me more.
If we really knew how graceful God was, it would take most of the fear. Like, if you have a parent that you confess things to and they rip you to shreds because of it, you're going to be like, okay, well, I'm not doing that again. But if you have a parent that you confess to and they're gentle yet still firm, now all of a sudden the next time you have to confess it, you're like, okay, not going to be the easiest thing, but I know the grace of this parent, and so it takes some of that fear away from me.
Yeah, it's an acceptance of failure being part of the process.
Yeah.
And you have to know God. God knows that. Like, he created us. It's not a secret to him.
Absolutely.
That we're going to fail, and that's part of the growth.
And yet he still died for us.
Yeah.
And he still created us.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So one of the things you guys kept mentioning, kind of two things I'll put together, but also probably just because I know you guys, prayer, and how has prayer evolved in your own understanding, particularly as you've prayed for your kids with special needs and have either not heard answers or not seen things that you wanted, and like, what is that? How has that helped or grown your understanding of prayer?
I'll let you go.
I feel like it's made me like actually search out what is prayer and what is the purpose and stuff like that. I think when I start to like wonder about it, I read Psalms sometimes and like these are examples of prayers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That was what I wrote for the question, what do you wrestle with? Which I was like, I should pick something else because that's always going to, I don't know if it will ever get easier to struggle with or wrestle with praying for people for healing. I mean, I know recently someone in our church has passed away and I'm sure this whole congregation was praying, like we know people like, and then you're like, why? Like, I don't know that. But then sometimes when I think through, I'm like, what if every single Christian that prayed for someone's healing, all those people got healed. And then other people weren't Christian. They're like, well, if I just become a Christian, then people will be healed. I don't know. Sometimes I try to think like, would it make sense for God to just heal every single prayer? Or we know they'll be healed in heaven. I don't know. I still go in those circles a lot. And then when it comes up that like praying for healing, especially physical healing or things like that, like inside of me is like, oh, I really, okay, I will, but do I actually believe it's gonna make a difference? Mm. I don't know. Sometimes I do, and sometimes I'm not sure.
Yeah. There was a sermon not too long ago. I forget when it was. It wasn't me. It was either Jerry or Brandon. But where Jesus goes to the pool of Bethesda and he heals a person. And we were talking, me and Jace or me and Paige. And one of them was like, well, but how many were there? I'm like, oh, there were a lot. And she was like, well, what about the others?
I've never thought of that, yeah.
And I was like, well, I don't know, but it doesn't say that he healed any others. So you kind of assume it was just that one person. And they were like, well, why?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. But Jesus healed that person. But there were a lot of people around that pool of Bethesda. I'm with you. This is the thing that I wrestle with probably more than anything in faith. Is like, come on, Peter's shadow touched people.
Yeah.
And they were healed. And we have a whole congregation of people. Like, what are we missing? So it just keeps pushing me towards God, though. Like, I'm not running from him in this. Lord, help me understand this more. And maybe there's situations where we do pray for things because it's impressed on us. And in that moment, it is for healing. In others, it's for strength and courage.
Yeah.
In others, it's for hope and endurance in the face of a trial that's going to end in all worldly ways terrible.
Yeah.
But then you remember the cross, too, and that looked like it ended horribly as well.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes when I struggle with it, part of me is like, I just don't want pray for healing anymore. And then I think you've said it to me, but if you love somebody, you're going to, like, I love my girls. I want them not, like, if they're having a seizure, I'll be like, oh, should I pray or not? And I'll be like, well, I love them. I want to ask God, will you please stop the seizure? I mean, I think when you love, like, love causes you to keep trying.
Yeah, you said, what are we learning about prayer through that situation? I think part of what I'm learning, well, the reason I want to let you go first is because I'm still really struggling with prayer, I guess. So I don't know if I'll ever, like you said, get a complete understanding. But when I said that to you, I think what I was trying to get through is that I wouldn't want to be the type of person who wouldn't pray for my kids anymore. Even though I, at this point with their experience, pretty much know this is their condition. So then, okay, go back to like, well, this is what I thought prayer was for, to get what I wanted. Reality isn't lining up with that. Now I need to go look for truth. What is this? And right. What I, in my process, that I'm still going through of doing that, I've learned that prayer isn't just about asking for things. It isn't just about getting what I want. It's somewhat about just telling God how I feel. You know what I mean? I always go back to having kids and them talking to me, and like, if all they ever did is ask me for stuff, what kind of relationship is that? It's not even one at all, really.
Right.
But if sometimes they would just sit there and tell me how they feel, I would, as a parent, you love that. You just want to talk to your kids. You want to know what they're going through, how they feel. So same for you. Like, I don't pray for my kids, Sydney and Ivy, in a sense, with their conditions to get healed anymore, that I think they're going to have a normal life, in a sense. But my heart still prays that. I still wish it. I still want it to be true. I still wish it could be true, while also in the same, holding at the same time, knowing that it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a paradox, but it's not. Both can exist within the same person. And I think that's how I feel about prayer. I think God understands what I want and what my heart's asking for, also understanding I'm not probably going to get that exact thing, and still praying about it.
Yeah. So there's gray. There's a lot of gray.
Yeah.
And probably there's more gray than I thought 20 years ago.
For sure.
In the Christian faith. And it's clearly black and white.
Yeah.
And some very clear, like, this is truth, this is definitely things to... But then in between that, there's like a whole existence of this gray kind of struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as humans, we want to think of things as like something worked or it didn't work. You know what I mean? This was successful or not. So we put prayer on that. Like, so I prayed for this thing, but I didn't get what I wanted, so it must not have worked. I think we're looking at it incorrectly. The whole purpose of prayer isn't just to get the thing you want.
Right.
It still might have worked. You still might have, you know, let all your emotions and feelings out to God so you could work through them. Then you could understand, well, maybe why don't I get everything I want? Why is reality this way that some people have illnesses? And then you work through all that. But if you didn't first pray about it, you wouldn't then get to the next steps.
Right.
God wouldn't help you work through it.
And I don't even know if I could handle being able to heal people that well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like having the ability to, you mean?
Yeah, like just, if my shadow actually healed somebody,
essentially, if you were God and could choose who to heal, how would you handle that? Yeah.
Right. Or the fame or the everything that would go along with it. And I don't think I'd be able to handle that. So along with all this, kind of want to skip to this last here. Talked a lot about Jesus ruling and reigning, Jesus being king, being disciples, apprentices. How do you alert others? And those others could be each other, they could be your kids, they could be people here at Finland, they could be clients' houses that you go to. What does it look like to alert others to the fact that Jesus is king in your life?
I'll give my really humble answer to this one. And when I first read the question, I thought, like, I don't do that. Like, that was going to be my answer. And I thought, well, I don't really want to say it on stage. But it's not like I don't walk around, like, literally talking about Jesus to many people. But then the more I thought about it, in a sense, I think it's just worded in a way that makes you think you have to give the Sunday school answer. There's so much more to just the way you live, the way you love people, that changes the world we live in. You know what I mean? I think Milford said he goes to stores when he was talking up here, and he's just as kind to the cashier. And how did that change their day? How did that have an effect? You know what I mean? I think everything we do as Christians, if we're putting more love into the world, that sounds so spiritual, but just loving people, it does change things. And then, sure, there's conversations that do get to literal conversion from not believing Jesus to Jesus. If I'm going to give one example of that, there's a guy who plays hockey here. We play Thursday nights. Who randomly, he just likes really deep conversations. So afterwards, at like 10 o'clock at night, we'll just be standing in the parking lot talking. And yeah, in that conversation, Jesus came up. I talked to him what I think. But that's like once a year, maybe. Who knows, you know what I mean? Most of the time it's just, I think, being a disciple, what we were talking about, that I think affects people.
Yeah. You get into pretty good conversations here on a Sunday morning, though,
right? I try to, yeah, sometimes. Me and John go at it back and forth. Talks about some deep stuff.
What about you, Monica? What's it look like for you?
I kind of felt the same as him. I was like, oh, no, I don't know what to say to that. Well, then you just said kids, and I was like, oh, it's easy for me to talk to my kids about Jesus and God. I think there was a point where I actually did on purpose think, well, everyone says you should just put God into everything you're talking about. And I'm like, how do you do that? And then so I was like, oh, God made the sunset. God made all, like, appreciating everything around me. And eventually, like, doing that all the time, then I'm like, oh, yeah, now it kind of makes sense to be like, whoa, isn't it crazy that God made that flower that way or that or whatever? Or like, oh, I can't believe God made that. And eventually, and then if you're reading the Bible with them and praying, I think that makes it easier. But anyone else, I think like you, I try to be just like kind to people and stuff like that. And I think more recently, I'm like, well, if it's hard to talk about God to like strangers, I should be good at talking about it in general. Like, if I never do it, well, me and you do it a lot, but like, just, oh, how could I like talk to my friends that are Christians more about like actually, I don't know what you would, whatever. What are you reading about? What are you learning?
Like you have to first be doing it yourself.
Yeah.
Truthfully, honestly, wanting to follow Jesus for it to even ever be something to talk about. Because right. Otherwise, it's not going to, you can't just like not do that and then, oh, I should be talking about this.
Right.
That's like trying to get the fruit of the Spirit from actually not following God. Like you can't just, you had a sermon once, I think I remember, where you said you can't like tape the fruit on or something. I forget how it went, but. Yeah, you have to first be doing it yourself.
Yeah.
Talking to people that are Christians about that. And then it makes it sound like a chore to say practicing. But in a sense, then you're practicing talking about this stuff.
Right.
And then that comes out to people who aren't Christians then.
Right. And that gets back to discipleship. And what is discipleship?
Yep.
And do we have these outlets where one of the things that Ginger and I have been talking about from her brother AJ, we're up on vacation, and he's going to try this thing at his church, kind of smaller group, sort of like triads, but where you get together with like two or three others, and within the week you agree that you're each going to call each other and have like a five-minute conversation about struggles or where God's showing up in your life, and like being intentional about it. I'm like, that sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, that'd be a great thing to do. It's, I mean, if we can't have 5 minutes to call a friend, then we've got some serious priority issues in our life.
If you think about anything with humans, we don't get better at anything by not intentionally trying.
Right.
You know what I mean? Things on their own get worse. That's just the reality of the world. So why do we treat our faith any different?
Exactly. And the other thing is, we can't lead someone to something we're not doing. And I like how you worded that, because too often we think we can't lead people to something we haven't perfected.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
Yeah.
And it's not about perfecting. If we wait for perfection, none of us could share anything with
each
other.
You wouldn't be a disciple. You would be the teacher.
Right.
If you perfected it.
Exactly.
We aren't trying to be God. We are disciples of Jesus.
We are disciples of Jesus. And so that's, you know, that's a lot of the point of the conversation of this, is just to show this is what conversations can look like.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the struggles. When you asked us to do it, you want to come up here and act like you have all the answers. And I was like, oh, no, kind of the point is to be like, we don't have all the answers. Like, that's, I wanted to say in the beginning, like, we're just saying how we are.
Yeah.
Trying to be real, I guess, not saying this is the truth.
Exactly. So, yeah, what's it like sitting in front of people admitting things you wouldn't want to?
I mean, I know most of the people here, so it's not that hard. But
well, we admit them to each other, so it's easier.
Maybe as an example, because we already talk about it.
Yeah. We've already talked about all this together.
Yeah.
Right. So the whole goal, keep these conversations going. There's a big deeper sheet that was created for today. Based on 1 Peter, so at the very least, grab one of those, sit with someone, read through 1 Peter chapter 3, apply it, because you're going to hear this a lot from me in the next, well, however long you keep me as a pastor, action reflection, because too often I think we think, oh, I just need to gain more knowledge and then I'll be different, and it's like, no.
Yeah, I want to reiterate that. You say action reflection. Sometimes, like I said, I want to simplify things maybe because I'm not that intelligent, but it's just practicing for me. It's
yes.
Just learning something and then trying it.
Exactly.
And then learning it and then trying it. For me.
And then refining along the way, because we're never going to get it right the first time.
Yeah.
But being okay with that, and that's the goal. Cool. So yeah, keep talking to each other. Maybe you've heard something from Chris or Monica. Connect with them afterwards. We're going to say a prayer and welcome the worship team back up to lead us in a song of response here. So let's pray. God, you are so good. And it is awesome to be an apprentice, a follower, a disciple of yours. And would you continue to grow us as a church body in maturity? Grow us in becoming intentional, active, everyday disciples, regardless of our age, Lord, all ages, all generations, walking humbly with you and with each other in a way that you can move in powerful, transforming, life-changing, eternity-altering ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.